The 3HL, coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, thanks for hanging out with us today. We appreciate you. It is Thursday. It is March 4th. Free agency for the NFL moving on. News earlier today, Golden Tate released by the Giants. Also, news today, Blaine, Big Ben has officially re-signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They figured out something that worked for both sides. He wanted to keep playing at 39. He will once again play quarterback for the Steelers. So Big Ben back with Pittsburgh.
What are the numbers? We don't even know. Looking, digging, and I'm like, what is, we don't get to know anything?
He is such an interesting case to me because for years when we thought of Big Ben, it was him kind of roaming around back in the backfield, looking downfield, and him being so huge, people just bouncing off of him. Now, sometimes he'd take big hits or get the ball knocked out of his hands, but for the most part, he was just a huge human being brushing aside tacklers. And then, you know, throwing downfield to AB or somebody. And now he gets rid of the ball almost immediately. You know, he's getting rid of the ball as quickly as anybody in the NFL. And I think I told you I had just stumbled across this stat from one of the Steelers reporters. Like, his air yards dropped to by far the lowest of his career. That was last year. He's getting rid of the ball. He's throwing it quickly. And that's just not how I always thought of Big Ben. But he's kind of changed his game to get rid of the ball, and that's a lot less hits that you take when you don't have the ball in your hand.
Yeah, well, especially if his arm wasn't as strong either, coming off elbow surgery. So I think in the early on, it was more of a plan to make sure, you know, he was back fully, and then before you start, you know, let him, you know, wing it. So it kind of evolved in. That's what it was all season. So I'm interested to see what happens here. I'm assuming just a one more year deal. I have no idea since we don't know any of the terms. But I think he's still got a little bit left, but I can't tell how much because of him not letting it fly a lot. So I don't know if it was more scheme related or was this actually elbowing them trying to protect him.
Yeah, he's battled some health concerns over the years. So 100% some of that could have been like, hey, man, don't hurt your arm any worse. We're going to design the offense to let you throw short, you know, not to have to push the ball down the field repeatedly. And if we do that, we can preserve your career, keep you going. And here we are. He just signed for another year's contract. There's an interesting article on ESPN that popped up early this morning. Free agents linked to specific teams that they thought were good fits. One of the edge rushers that I've seen some Titans fans talking about is Carl Lawson. He's only 25. He'll be 26 in June. Had 5.5 sacks last year. He's got 20 in 4 years. So he averages, about 5 sacks a year. He played 68% of the defensive snaps in 2020 for Cincinnati while he got his 5.5 sacks. So I thought, I'm just curious, what percentage of the snaps did Harold Landry play? He played 94% for the Titans. He played over 1,000 snaps. SpotTrack shows Lawson's value, Blaine, at 4 for 35, which is about $8.8 million per year. We were all kind of wondering about JJ Watt, and he wound up getting $23 million guaranteed. I mean, that's basically almost 3 years of Carl Lawson if he would sign for that eight and change amount. He's an intriguing guy. I started looking at some other guys and their value, like Romeo Okwara, who's the guy that played for the Lions last year, and he had a real nice sack year.
He's a free agent, right?
Yeah, he's a free agent. They had him.
No, he 30. Was a free agent when he came out of college, I think.
Oh.
But I'm sure about that, but I.
Yeah, and it's funny because with the sack guys, they're either a first-round draft pick or they're some guy you've never heard of, like Max Crosby, or some undrafted guy who just gets in the league and gets the right spot and is good at what he does.
Yeah, Max Crosby was like fourth round from one of the Michigans in Mac.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's turned out to be a great sack guy in the NFL so far. Romeo Okwara, 3 years at 10 per. So that's $30 million for him. Then I thought, I wonder what they have Shaq Barrett as. I'm just curious if J.J. Watt got 23 guaranteed and they're saying it's 28, but it's 31 if he hits all the incentives now that all the real numbers are coming out on that. Shaq Barrett, 4 for 79, right under $20 million a year. $20 million a year for Shaq Barrett. Can you do it, Blaine? Can you pay? Because I know we like that guy.
I really do. I think he's shown that he's a pass rusher. I know his numbers are down a little bit, but I think as time goes on, I'm starting to settle into being that I'd like, and I hate it, and that's just who I am. I'd rather get two players than one player. Yep. And that's going to sound bad because then their numbers are going to look like 7-8 million. I haven't watched a lot of I love to know Shaq Lawson's stats, you know, against the Titans because they played. I feel like he's just that workmanlike guy. And I get your stat numbers. That means if he plays more, he'll have more production. But that's not always guaranteed. But I just feel like he's, you know, he's just a solid player. So I think around the 7-8 million for me is cool with him, but not the big dough. But I'm going to have to get somebody else, or maybe I get somebody in the second round or first round with the 22nd pick, you know, or in the second round. So, yeah, I'm starting to get that way because Shaq's probably the only guy out there that's probably going to get the big dough. I don't know who else is out there is going to get 20 million, 18 to 20 million, long-term deal, but that home run sometimes just doesn't work out in free agency. It scares me.
They got Matthew Judon because I thought, okay, that's another guy we talk a lot about. Yeah. There's a lot of Titans fans that really like him. I thought, okay, what does Spot Track have him? Because we talk about that website. I talk about it all the time because I love the website. That Pro Football Focus or Pro Football Reference, rather, are the two that I go to the most looking for information. That, and they have projected values for a whole bunch, not all of them, but a lot of free agents. They have Judon at 4 years, $15.6 million per. That's $62.5 million for 4 years for Matthew Judon. So what is that? About 18 or 17 less, basically, than what they're saying over 4 years that you could pay for Shaq Barrett.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little steep for me. I put Judon in that same category as the 8. At max 10 mil. I just don't think he's in that category. You know, those elite guys are, and if that's coming free agent, I just don't know if they'll be out there. So yeah, I'm going for that. So you may end up having to, you know, take a defensive end, a pass rusher in the draft. I really love the Georgia guy. I don't know why I like him more. Maybe I watched him more. That's why. And then I really watched him in that Cincinnati game. And I hadn't seen a guy do something like that. At least in the pro, I mean, that I, you know, Javon Kurse did that in his, you know, first couple games. You go, wow. So that's how he looked in one game. I don't think they're the same type players and freaking nature type players, but he did the same thing. I mean, he caused three sacks and one caused fumble and it picked it up. And then he literally won the game. Cincinnati had him on the ropes. They had Georgia on the ropes, man. Luke Fickell and crew, man, they look good. So, yeah, I don't know why. I know he's on the smaller side, but he's built durable. If you look at him. He's strong, lower body. So, yeah, I saw him take on on a Twitter handle, a guard pulling from Alabama, and he stuffed the big Crimson Tide. Yeah, stuffed him.
Whoa. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And I'm like, he only weighs 245 or whatever they say. I'm like, that guy weighed 345.
Well, and hey, you pointing that out because we all get caught up in sacks, but it's not all just sacks. You got to set the edge, and sometimes a guard comes at you with all he's got. And those are the other things you got to live with in the NFL.
Yeah, they definitely, their offensive line in Alabama definitely represents the Crimson Tide look. But
yeah, big, nasty.
Yeah, so I kind of like him only probably because I watched him more. But I'm sure there's a whole bunch of guys out there. I mean, Miami, the U has like three guys. I'm like, one set out this year, one transferred there. I'm like, right. Ooh. Then I like their tight end. I kind of like him in the middle rounds, man. I like him, man.
We had this discussion. There's one guy who's a Miami fan who occasionally tweet me if we ever talk about Miami. My question is always this. Every year they have like first round draft picks.
Yeah.
And they'll have like 10 guys who go in the first three rounds. It's something crazy. Why are they never better?
I don't know. Well, they have all the players with Diaz now, but
yeah,
you're right. They definitely have pro prospects every year. It's really because it's just Florida. I don't know why they can't win games, but they're in Florida. So they're, you know, they're in a hotbed of recruiting. I mean, Florida, Texas, and Georgia got to be at the top. I mean, just grown in California. I mean,
I don't understand this, Blaine, and maybe you can help me understand, because you played college football and pro football. If you were some guy and you were playing and, you know, you were in, I don't know, Indiana or Oklahoma, or you were in North Dakota, and somebody came to you and said, you can play football for 4 years in Miami, Florida. It's never cold. Sun's always shining. Why wouldn't everybody go down there? I'm dead serious.
It's a private school, too. A lot of people don't even know that. You know that's a private school now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy. I didn't know that too. I went down there. I was like, "What? It's a private school, and they kind of landlocked there too. And they play all the games with, you know, at the Dolphin Stadium,
right? Which is not near the campus. You got to go to the Dolphin Stadium to play. Yes. You know, which is funny because we played them when I was working at Arkansas State, and there weren't a whole lot of people there. And I was talking to some people before the game. They said, "Oh no, man, nobody's gonna come watch us play Arkansas State." Now they said, "If we're great, and we're playing somebody big, then the stadium is full." But most of the time it's not. You know, this isn't the U. Michael Irvin's not walking through that door anymore. We don't draw for every game like we used to in the old Orange Bowl.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny about the perception, you know, with the times where we were growing up, the perception of the U that they were hardcore, you know, city guys. I mean, you get on that campus, it's nothing like that. I'm like, they did not go here. There's no way.
Yes. It does not match.
No, man, that's a real good academic institution. I'm like, wow, man, that shows you what football can give you, a perception of a school when they were nothing like that. I'm like, man.
That's like when Lane Kiffin was at FAU. He would tweet pictures of, like, on the beach or the team working out on the beach. So
they had literally on campus.
So if you're that level of player, and I love Arkansas State, but if you were that level of player and somebody's like, hey, man, go to Jonesboro, Arkansas on your visit. And I say that saying I lived there. I'm acknowledging this. Then come to FAU on your visit. You can pick which place you want to play. How would anybody not go? How would everybody not go down there?
Hook, line, and sinker. They'd have me. And I probably flunk out, man.
We had Golden Tate's brother on. Really? He had a brother. Oh gosh, and his name, I'm Golden. I'm sorry, I can't think of your brother's name. And he played at Vandy, remember?
Right. Yeah.
And he also got recruited to Arkansas State, and we had him on, Brent and I, Brent Doherty and me, one day, and I said, "Look, Ben, did you not take that visit to Jonesboro?" He said, "No, sorry, man, I never went there." I said, "You realize we have like the second biggest Walmart in the world. You missed out on it. You could have gone there at midnight and bought a huge box of Frosted Flakes." And he said, "Hey, man, I'm sorry. I just never got around to it. I picked Vanderbilt to stay home." But, oh, my gosh. I don't know why more people don't just say anywhere down there where the weather is always fantastic. Just sign me up.
Trees.
Oh, yeah. Beaches.
Think how many, you know, girls are laying out on campus.
Oh, okay.
Reading their books. I'm telling you, that's what they do now.
Reading their books. Yes.
Yeah, reading their books. And then you say, "Hey, I need a study partner."
Oh my gosh. Oh, to be young and
palm tree. Palm tree, man.
Wait, I'll tell you somewhere else.
That coconut. Hey,
there's no beach in Arizona. I challenge anybody walk through the campus at Arizona State.
I raised my hand. I've been there. My son, we visited there three times.
Okay.
I told my wife, I said, "Man, I don't know if he's going to get any work done. Do you see all these people walking around and laying out here?" I was like, "This seems like you're more like at the beach than you're at school.
All they're missing is the water." Yeah.
Oh, my man. I was like, I don't know. He's far. It's a flight away. I mean, I don't know. Something go wrong. And he flung it out. I'm like, we don't know why. We just say, "Come on, get on the flight. Come on back, buddy."
Yeah, he'd be like, "Hey, don't fly out and see me. I'm just fine. I don't need y'all to come see me. Everything's fine. I'll see you at Christmas or after the season." We got to see Rhett Bryan. He is coming up in just a few minutes. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. So, Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. The Zone, rolling through a Thursday afternoon. Beautiful day outside. If you get a chance to do something outside, I would strongly recommend it. Maybe you just go out, try to find Rhett Bryan and Titan Studio, wave at it. That'd be a nice thing to do. Just wave it, honk the horn when you go by the studio. Brent Bryan joins us from the Palatial Titans Radio Studio. He is the executive producer of Titans Radio. Rhett, yesterday was a heck of an anniversary for this city. Blaine and I talked about it a little bit, and I saw that you tweeted some anniversary of the Nashville tornadoes and out in Cookeville. I know you have such a heart for this community, and Blaine and I were discussing this. It was so tough to go through, and our station and so many others just said, what can we do? And there were people who went and cut trees off of Kirby's house and just did everything they could for people. But what we learned is what we always learn about the people in Middle Tennessee. They are strong, and they treat each other like family in the best of times and the worst of times.
Even with all of the transplants that have moved here in the last 10 years, 5 years, whatever, there is a solid foundation of what the essence of Tennessee has always been. It's the volunteer state. I don't know what it is. Now, for people that are natives or have lived here for a long time, they get it. But I've never seen a place like Tennessee just pitch in and do, you know, it's like, hey, neighbor, what do you need? You know, let me help you. I just, you know, and I know so many people are still suffering a year later. Whether it's a loss to their business or their home or damage or, you know, federal assistance, insurance assistance. And then God bless them, the people that have lost loved ones in all of this. Mm. I mean, you hit it in Cookeville. I mean, in Putnam County, that was what 19 of the 25 fatalities were there. And it just obliterated. It's just, you know, it's a nightmarish thing. And then little did we know 2 weeks later, the world would shut down and, you know, here it's just one thing after another. And, but the resilience of Nashville and the community, it's impressive. It really is.
For sure. And one of the great distractions for people then and now and always will be professional football and the Tennessee Titans. That gives people something to talk about and look forward to, even in the worst of times. And we've had some pretty good times around here for the last few years.
Yeah.
Got to figure out how to get this 2021 team put together. We've already seen Adam Humphries cut loose, and I know we're going to talk about some draft picks with you, but a lot of NFL reporters, Diana Russini among them, Rhett, are talking about just what all we're going to see cut-wise over these next few days. I think the Titans won't be immune to that. They need to make some moves to sign the next round of guys. I would imagine sooner or later we're going to start seeing those cuts come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Diana Russini put a tweet out yesterday saying, you know, some, I'm paraphrasing, but that there would be massive amounts of cuts across the board in all teams, you know, whatever to, you know, the, every year, every team, when there's a new fiscal year, which it's March 17th, you have to be under that new set salary cap, whatever that is. And it's drastically different than it has been in years previous. And then she followed it up today with another tweet that showed, I think 11 of the 32 are over the cap and some of them dramatic. I mean, the New Orleans Saints are what, $61 million over the cap. You talk about making some moves, and the Philadelphia Eagles are way up there too. And yeah, you're right. The Titans are not immune to that. I mean, per spot track, I think, you know, they're only a couple of million over in this thing, and that's not enough to sign a draft class. So yeah, there's going to have to be some finagling, moving, maybe even cuts and releases. You know, this is where guys are reminded that it is a business. It just revolves around sports.
No doubt. Rhett Bryan joining us to talk about the business of Titans football here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, let's talk about some old business. Delanie Walker. That's old business.
Listen to you.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say down the road, you know, depending on where you're at after the draft and free agency, a guy like Kyle Rudolph or Delanie Walker, especially here in Tennessee, would be something that you think, if you're the GM, you consider for that $1 million incentive laden contract. If you just so happen don't find a tight end, or you know, come up a little short on Janu, and maybe miss out on the draft on picking one that you thought was, you know, had the value that you wanted when you were picking. So, would that be something you would consider down the road, training camp?
Yeah, I would. I'd be more along the lines of a Kyle Rudolph because he's younger.
He's younger.
And I love Delanie to death. You know I do. But I just know, and I'd never count the guy out in a million years. But those last two seasons, he just, you know, Father Time was catching up there. Look, in my dream scenario, and I've started to tweet about this, David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns is who I'd love to have here. I loved him 4 years ago when he came out of Miami.
Super athletic. Woo.
Yeah.
I'd be doing a lot of holding if I'm guarding him.
Yeah, exactly. And he's young, and he, you know, their stories are, you know, Mary Kay Cabot, the longtime beat writer up there, has put out articles in the last few days about that. There's whispers that he's not happy, and golly, I mean, that's where I'd go in this. Now, and you know, in the NFL draft, it's not a super great year for tight ends. And typically that's, you know, the case because of the way the college game is and the way it's evolved. And some teams need inline blocking tight ends. Some, you know, a lot of these tight ends are just big, beefy wide receivers. But, you know, when you get to, you know, Kyle Pitts is the top of the list at Florida. Right. And you guys have talked about that in your show today, just what a monster he is. And, you know, Pat Freiermuth from Notre Dame is in that. Tommy Trimble from Notre Dame is in that. My favorite in this class is Brevin Jordan from Miami. Now, he's got some injury issues. He missed 7 games in 3 years there. But, again, athletic, can jump out of the building. And then there's some guys down in the mid to late rounds where you might be able to sneak up and get something that is a little more developmental. But, yeah, David Njoku, golly, if that could be on my wish list, let's do that.
I know today is going to be sleeper day. So that's all we're going to ask about, some guys you can get maybe after the fourth round and, you know, all the way to the seventh round that could be very productive players. And I wanted to start with, and I, you may not have scouted them because, you know, I haven't really paid attention to them. I watched them in college a little bit. This is the quarterback. These are two quarterbacks I'm going to ask you about. If you don't know any information about them, that's cool. But I watched both of them play one game. So I just said, man, this guy looks, he looks pretty good. And that's the Tulsa quarterback, Zach Smith, as well as Texas quarterback, Sam Ehlinger. You talking about tight end? If he don't work out there, I can move him to tight end.
Well, now here's, I will say this, and I haven't watched the Tulane quarterback. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Tulsa, yeah, Tulsa.
Tulsa, excuse me. But now Sam Ehlinger, here's the thing. He is the embodiment of an excellent leader, teammate, all of those things. But I don't think that skill set translates to the NFL. His size is a little in question with that. His arm strength is not super great. He is by all means a fantastic human being, captain, leader, you know, all those things you want, but you don't have those physical traits that you normally look at. Does somebody give him a look as an undrafted free agent? Wouldn't surprise me. Somebody take him, you know, late in day three, probably wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, I think you've got to look at other things. You know, a Kellen Mond, I think, is a guy that you get in day three before you get a Sam Ehlinger.
Got you. No doubt about it. That's why I said about tight end and converting him, because he's got a thick base to him and he can run. And when every time I watched him run, he was breaking tackles. So I just wanted to kind of.
Maybe he's an H-back, right?
All right.
And last. Yeah, like your old teammate, Michael Rohn, man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael Rohn. Rohn was tough.
That was the real deal right there.
He was real. Yeah. All right. And lastly, this is always for my guy, Gator Mike. This is a wide receiver, though. Trevor Grimes, the wide receiver, has nice size to him. I think he's about the 6'2"-ish range or 6'1"-ish, can run. I've watched him. He's number 8 for Florida. Do you know a little bit about him? That's probably somebody's a late-round draft pick guy, sleeper-type player.
And he is a guy that I'm starting to dig in and look at because, you know, he's one of those that has the unfortunate deal that he has kind of gone under the radar because people are looking at Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts. And Kadonius Terry and you know, they're looking at those guys. However, that could help him because when they have a pro day there and everybody, their brother shows up for those three I mentioned, he gets to show up and, you know, make some plays for his quarterback or those kinds of things. But no, he's somebody that I'm starting to get on my radar for sure. And I tell you one that is interesting to me that is a day three selection is a guy at Florida State who is a big wire receiver. He built kind of like a Justin Hunter was years ago. He's 6'4", 210, so he needs some weight in there for some functional strength. But Tamorian Terry from Florida State,
he had
back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons in 18 and 19. He played only in 6 games in 2020 and had a kind of an odd year, had some injury things, and then abruptly just left the program and opted out to get started for the draft. So there's some questions about where his health is, if there's any medical red flags and those things. But he is a guy that has an incredible length and range. He is would be very good in 50-50 combat ball catches types of things. But again, a little light in the rear end. to fight off those big physical corners that he would face at the next level. But that's a guy in the third day that I think you're going to see a team, you know, like the Kansas City Chiefs. That's somebody they would take in the late rounds to bolster their wide receiving core.
Yeah, I'll add to that. I read an article on Asante Samuel Jr., and they asked him who was the best receiver he faced throughout his career in college. And he says, a guy I practice against every day, your man Terry.
Tamori and Terry.
Underrated. So people better watch out for him. So, yeah, Red Bryant, executive producer of the Titans Radio.
And Asante Samuel Jr., you know, has recently been reported as a virtual visit with the Titans. I've got a list of those guys that I'm seeing reported, and that's one that he's already done a virtual visit with the Titans reportedly. So I like that guy at a cornerback spot for sure.
Hey, let's hear some more about these virtual visits. Do tell. It's like the popcorn emoji from Twitter right now.
Hey, you just made me want some popcorn, man. Dang.
Hey, man, you can't go wrong. Popcorn for everybody. And who are they Zooming with, since we're Zooming with each other?
Blaine can go to the snack cabinet here when we get done.
The snack cabinet.
Asante Samuel Jr. from Florida State, obviously, that we've just mentioned. A wide receiver from Auburn, Anthony Schwartz.
Little fast guy.
And then, there's a trio of defensive backs at the University of Syracuse that people are looking at in this draft. Fitu Melifonwu is one of them. His brother, Obi Melifonwu, has played in the league. But anyway, Trill Williams is another one. That's a guy that they've had a virtual visit with reportedly. Tommy Trimble, the tight end from Notre Dame, the second tight end behind Pat Freiermuth. Greg Newsome, the second from Northwestern. Now, Blaine, Greg Newsome, I like him at corner. That dude is a ball player. He is physical. He has got – that's a guy from a smaller program like that I like his game. And that's somebody they've talked to.
I think he still made all Big Ten too, I think.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Javian Hawkins, a running back from Louisville. That's a guy they've talked to. The receiver from Purdue that's being talked about a lot, Rondale Moore.
Okay.
There is a tackle from the University of Massachusetts, Larnell Coleman, that they have talked to. And this makes sense because of the program, because we've seen a streamline of these guys coming out of there. But this guy is a guy that's off the radar, who's more of a developmental late third day guy that is getting on my radar just because I've seen the Titans reported talking to them. And that's Sean Bayer, a tight end from Iowa. And, you know, you think about Noah Fant and T.J. Hawkinson, all that. But this guy apparently can catch the ball, but is a good inline blocker, which is something the Titans would need in their offensive scheme with, you know, power run and all that. So, and then Tevin Jenkins, who will be one of the first tackles taken from Oklahoma State in the first round. They've talked to him reportedly. And then the last one, and I really like this guy, is the Jarrett Patterson, the running back from Buffalo. And that's the guy he ran for 1,100 yards in six games. He had a game against, I can't remember who it is. He had a game that he had 406 yards rushing and 8 touchdowns in one game this year.
Wasn't against Ball State.
that dude, he's
pretty impressive.
He's a day three guy. Yeah, he can move. He can move.
I'm going to say this, but it's not in that category. He's a poor man's Barry Sanders. I watched him.
Yeah. Ooh.
His dude is legit, and he's short and compact.
And he can play teams, too.
Yeah, this guy, he can play.
So that's the list I've got so far of what I've seen reported that have been virtual visits. And that list will grow, obviously. You know, in the combine, the NFL combine, they put out what an official list would have been had they had a combine, who the invitees were. And I've kind of starting to pour through that for sure. I'll tell you another prospect that is a sleeper pick for me is Ricky Prohl's son, Blake Prohl.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we know how good a career Ricky Prohl had in the NFL as a receiver. He's 6'1", 185, so he's a little lean. Needs a little mass.
Yeah.
He's an East Carolina Pirate. He will be a slot receiver at the next level should he latch on somewhere. He played outside there the last 2 years, but he's a slot receiver in 2018. But this is a guy that in a pro day ran a clocked 4.39 and a 4.1. So he's got a little get to him. But the thing about him, he's a little light in the rear end for functional strength, but he has great hands. In fact, he only had, 194 career targets, 2 drops in 3 seasons at ECU.
He's got hands. Well, speaking of receivers, real quick, nobody's talking about him because you said it's a deep draft for wide receivers. But this guy, he could eventually, the way everybody's talking, he could be in the third round or maybe second. Is Shai Smith, the receiver from South Carolina. He was very productive. I like what I saw every time I watched him. I watched him if it's Vandy. I watched him against UT. He became their number one guy. He'll be a great number two. It looks like he has decent size inside and outside.
Blaine, there is, you know, I heard your guy from Pro Football Network early on in your show talk about it's, some people argue about the depth of this wide receiver class versus last year. There's a lot of value. Once you get past the Deontay Smiths, Jamar Chases, all of those guys, there's a bunch right there that are all together, that are all different skill sets, but can add value to your team immediately. Shai Smith is one of them. There's another guy that I'm starting to study from the University of Illinois that is Josh Imadebebe, 6'2", 218. Apparently, he's really good and has played really well. There's a bunch of them right there from probably pick 38 or 9 to about 90. That you can go get something, somebody that can help you. And listen, in day three, somebody I think is going to get a steal in a guy that we've seen a lot of here at the University of Tennessee, and Josh Palmer.
Josh Palmer
had a really good week the week of the Senior Bowl. Ended up playing in the game, 2 receptions for 26 yards and a score. We know what he can do. He was behind Juwan Jennings for a while, and those other guys, Marquess Williams. That's a guy I think that somebody will get a really good value in day three.
Ooh, real quick, one more guy, Nate Hobbs from Illinois. You heard of him, a cornerback?
I have, and he's one of those that is kind of an under-the-radar guy right now, and is probably one of those that, a little bit of a transitional work in progress, but can maybe get schooled along pretty quickly. I tell you, that's what fascinates me about the draft stuff. This kid, Milton Williams, who's a D lineman from Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
He had his Exos Pro Day the other day. He's 6'3", 286, ran a 4.6, 340, 35-inch vertical leap, 32 reps at 225 on the bench. He was he's from Crosby, Crowley, Texas. He was Defensive Player of the Year in high school football in Texas. So that tells me where he's at there. Played outside and then played inside this year at Louisiana Tech. And he's a guy that's starting to get on people's radar.
Yeah, he should be on people's radar. This guy can actually play. I watched him last year, not just this season, last season when they had those 2 or 3 DBs that all got drafted. Kansas City, the other one, the Shark guy, I forgot where he went. They all got drafted 3rd, 4th, 5th round.
Right.
This kid can play. This guy, I don't know if he's going to be there past 4.
He would have been an official combine invite. He made the list yesterday. So we'll see.
Rick, good stuff, man. Let's get our people with your people and just go ahead and set up another visit for next week, because this one went by way too fast.
I'll do it. You name it, I'll do it.
Sounds good. Rhett Ryan, executive producer of Titans Radio at Rhett B. Tennessee on Twitter for football and life musings from the one and only Rhett Ryan. I got some UT news. If you want to go to the spring game, sounds like some people are going to get to go. We'll tell you about that next. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5. If you're looking for a fun day, I'll tell you about a fun opportunity. Join 104.5 The Zone for our 2021 Spring Golf Classic. It's Monday, March 29th, coming up soon as we spend the day teeing off on an awesome golf course, Champions Run Golf Course, one of the hidden gems of Middle Tennessee. The 2021 Golf Classic is going to be a day with food and mixed cocktails, opportunities to win prizes. You can meet Blaine Bishop, maybe. I don't know. He's probably going to be there. You can choose from 2 tee times, either 8 a.m. or 1 p.m. Again, Monday, March 29th, single tickets and foursomes on sale now. You can purchase or get more info at 1045thezone.com/2021golfclassic. Always a nice day out in the sunshine and the fresh air. Appreciate all of our sponsors for making it happen. T-Mobile, Upscale Male Spa, Southern Trophy House, Nashville Soccer Club, Fight DMD, Comprehensive Security, Uncle Bud's, and Edley's Barbecue. Thanks to all of them for making this possible. Blaine, it may be possible that Vol fans can go to the spring game. Donde Plowman, the chancellor, has been doing all these town hall type meetings. By the way, Zoom has changed the way everybody is going to do everything for the rest of forever. Because now, like chancellors of universities, like the Titans, Rhett Ryan just gave us, like, they've Zoomed with this guy. They've Zoomed with that guy. I mean, everybody. Think about a whole generation of recruited athletes this year, and guys who are going to report next fall. They've never even been to campuses. The guys and gals who are going to play college sports, they just get recruited over Zoom now until that dead period gets lifted and they can actually go back and have recruiting visits. Right now, everything's on Zoom. So Dondi Plowman, she's Zooming. She's doing town hall meetings with UT people. She said this, and this is a key word, so everybody remember this, because this was a big key word into the spring and into the fall of last year, because people kept saying, how can you expect student athletes to play ball if nobody is going to school on campus? Well, you're starting to hear all these governors and all these people who run school systems in different states say, we're going to be open for business, full normal on-campus scheduling. Dondi Plowman said that. We're expecting in the fall to be back at full capacity from a student body standpoint. So once that happens, you have to start thinking about lifting restrictions all around campus. She said, it's a quote, somebody's going to ask me, what's the seating going to be at Neyland Stadium? I don't know yet. I haven't talked to Danny about that, talking about Danny White. Yes, I saw the same announcement she said Alabama made. They said, we talked about this earlier this week. They said they're fully open for business. She said, I think we're all hoping to be back to a lot of people in the stands, including, I hope, at the spring game, which is April 24th. I know a lot of UT fans, Blaine, would like to go into Neyland Stadium and just watch the orange and white game and kick back for a day and enjoy some football.
No doubt about it, but we must not remember and try to keep up with the Joneses. Every state is in their own different category.
Yep.
So wherever they're at with their levels and, you know, their health people there, you got to make your decisions based off that. So I liked her answer, and we hope, you know, we got shots and everything that we should be there, but we don't know. So we're not worried about actually Alabama or Mississippi or Texas on what they're actually doing. That's on their timeline. People are upset about that they're doing it in some of those states as well. I mean, in Texas, they talking about that you don't even have to wear a mask. You know, I mean, I'm like, man, you just go from 0 to 100 real quick.
In one tweet. Yeah.
So, you just hopefully everything is going down the right track, and hopefully we'll be where we need to be come time when the season starts. And right now, I think everybody thinks everybody's going back to class too, come in the fall. Mm-hmm. When school starts. So I think that means then you can go to football games.
No doubt. She also talked about the investigation. She says our part of that investigation is almost over. And John Bryce, the football scoop, if you go to John D. Bryce 1 on Twitter or Football Scoop's account, you can see all this stuff. And I'll paraphrase. She said UT being proactive with their investigation, and boy, were they proactive. She says it has them hopeful that the NCAA penalties against the Volunteers football program will be lessened because they fired the coach and they reported all this stuff and they investigated and self-reported all kinds of stuff. So according to Dondi Plowman, they're hoping that them being open and upfront with the NCAA will help lessen some penalties for UT football.
Yeah, and typically that does. And I think one of the new hirees, you know, in the administrative side of it for the, you know, athletics is also has a relationship with that person, I guess, who kind of oversees that whole type of penalties and investigation in NCAA. So hopefully that all worked in their favor, and maybe it'll just be, you know, you can't go to a bowl game 1 year, or maybe you lose 2 scholarships or something. In the real world, that's kind of really minor. And even in athletics, that first year, I don't think it'll be too bad.
No doubt.
Well, hopefully we'll certainly be.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got rid of the bad. Watch it. They put their hands up and say, we did our part. We got rid of the bad guys. If you want to put, they were the bad guy. We were the good guys. We caught them and we turned them in. This is how it's been played out. Guess what has been played out when they were trying to hire coaches and everything? Hey, man, they'll squeal on you, man, if you're a Purdue. Just a tad, a little bit recruiting. Man, watch out, man. Make sure you get your money.
Hey, make sure you win. Right?
You went 7-3. That would have never came out. I said that from the beginning. That would have never happened.
Yep. Tell you what's about to happen. 3HL. We'll be back at it tomorrow, Friday, from 1 to 3. Buck Rising, who's on the show before us, will be on with us again tomorrow. We'll talk Titans with the Zone's own Buck Rising tomorrow at 2:50. You don't want to miss it. We'll also look forward to hanging out with you. You can hit us anytime on Twitter at Blaine and Mickey. But for now, we got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Thursday.